as a small component of a love story. And there's a couple love stories that we're going to celebrate today. Darren and Heather were married 4 years yesterday. Yes. And Brian and Michelle, they have an anniversary on Tuesday. How many years? 14. Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, that's something to celebrate. So lately, I have been so intrigued by the beauty of the Bible. And one of the things is that we can study it for years and years, and God can still show us something, teach us something. We look at the scripture, and God speaks to our heart, and we read something in a new way. And so today we're going to look at the book of Ruth. It's only four chapters, and you've probably read it. And so we're going to vote on what you think the book of Ruth is about. And so listen to the two choices, and then make your decision, and we'll vote, okay? So number one, it's about a woman named Naomi who becomes a widow, and her loyal daughter-in-law says this wonderfully popular quote, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." So that's choice number one. Choice number two, it's about God's plan to redeem us, and it shows us once again that God always has a plan to rescue us. So if you think it's option one, raise your hand. If you think it's about option two, raise your hand. So everyone who voted, you all are correct. It's both of those things. So the book of Ruth is beautifully written, but it starts with tragedy and death. There was a family, and they lived in Bethlehem, and they were struggling to survive during a famine. And the man of the household, his name is Elimelech. Is that correct, Sandy? Elimelech. And his wife's name was Naomi, and they had two sons. And because of the famine, Elimelech, he decides that they are going to move out of the country and go to a place called Moab. And so they did, and there he died. And now Naomi is left alone with her two sons. And they eventually married Moabite women. One was named Orpah, and the other one was named Ruth. And after they had lived in Moab for like 10 years, the two sons died as well. That's some tragedy, isn't it? And so Naomi, she decides that she's going to move back to Bethlehem. And she told her daughter-in-laws, go back to the home of your mothers. You're young enough, you could still get remarried. And so they all cried, and Orpah, she kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Naomi, she said, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. And throughout this story, you're going to see that Ruth is very loyal, and she has a good character. So Naomi and Ruth, they travel back to Bethlehem. And the town was excited to see them. And the women exclaimed, could this be Naomi? They hadn't seen her for a long time. But she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which in Hebrew, that means bitter. Because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. All of this tragedy has gotten to Naomi, hasn't it? And when they came back, it was barley harvesting time in Bethlehem. And Naomi had a relative on her husband's side. His name was Boaz, and he was a farmer. And Ruth had said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up whatever grain is left behind from the harvesters. You know, there's always a little bit of grain that's still left in the harvest fields. And as it turned out, Ruth is going to work in a field that's owned by Boaz. Now, you've heard Dan and I use the word divine appointment. Don't think that this is by accident, that Ruth just happens to find herself in the field of Boaz. And so Boaz, he sees her, and he asks his farm manager, "Who does that young woman belong to?" And the overseer replied, "She is a Moabite that came back with Naomi. She had asked to glean and gather the grain left behind, and she came into this field and has remained here from morning till now and has only taken a short rest." So she's a hard worker, right? And so Boaz is going to say to Ruth, "Don't go and glean in any other field, and don't go away from here. Stay with the women that work for me, and I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, get a drink from the water jars that the men have filled. And so to me, this sounds like the beginning of love, right? He's feeling very protective of her. And Ruth, she bows her face down and she said, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes? I am a foreigner." And Boaz says that he has heard what she's done for her mother-in-law. And then he's going to give her this beautiful blessing. "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to take refuge." And Ruth, she's invited to eat at Boaz's table. He gives her some that she can take home. And when she returned back to Naomi with what she had gathered, Naomi asked, "Where did you work? What happened?" And so Ruth is going to tell her, "Well, I was in Boaz's field." And Naomi said, "Well, the Lord bless him. He is one of our close relatives. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Kinsmen redeemer. So let's look at what that is. In ancient Israel, there were specific provisions to protect an extended family. So, for example, if a relative was forced to sell their land due to poverty, the kinsman redeemer could buy it back and keep it in the family. So they would have, like, the first choice to buy it. So it just their land didn't go to a stranger. And if a family member fell into extreme debt and they needed to sell themselves as an indentured servant, the kinsman redeemer could buy them back, pay their debt, and set them free. And if you want to read more about what a kinsman redeemer is, it is found in Leviticus 25. It talks about that. Also, if a man died without an heir, the kinsman redeemer was encouraged to marry the widow and to provide children to preserve the family name and to protect the estate. So now each day, Ruth is, she's staying close to the women that work for Boaz, and she stayed there until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. And she lived with Naomi, and she took care of her. And then one day, Naomi said, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be provided for. And Boaz, he's going to be working the threshing floor tonight. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to wash and put on some perfume and put on your best clothes. And go to the threshing floor, but don't let him know that you're there. And wait until he has finished eating and drinking. And when he lies down, go and uncover his feet and lie down at his feet." And Ruth said, "Okay, I'll do what you say. Sure." So Boaz had finished eating, and he was in a good mood, and he lies down at the end of the grain pile. And in the middle of the night, Boaz woke with such a startle. And he's like, "There is a woman laying at my feet. And who are you?" And Ruth said, "I am your servant. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer of our family. So basically, she's telling him, I would like you to buy our land and to marry me. Like, it's she's kind of giving that thought that she would be willing to do that. And so Boaz, he agrees to help her. But he mentions that all of the people of the town, that they know she is a woman of noble character. And I think that's interesting to put in there. She just wasn't any woman. She was a woman that people saw with a noble character. And so I think he's choosing that he would like to marry her. So he went to the town gate, and he sat down to wait for this other relative, because there was one relative that was closer, and it would be first in line to be the kinsman redeemer. So he goes to the town, and he waits for him. And they have a group of elders that are witnessing this discussion, and they discuss the piece of land and that Ruth would need a husband. And the other man said, I don't really want to get married. It doesn't say that in those words, but that's kind of what happened. He wasn't so interested in marrying her. And so Boaz stands up and he announces that he would be the kinsman redeemer. And so he took Ruth to be his wife, and she gave birth to a son. And all the women told Naomi, praise be to the Lord, this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. And they named the son Obed, and he's going to be famous for sure, because Obed would be the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David, which is the line from which Jesus was born. So this is not just some random story. This is the lineage of Jesus. Yeah, that's Jesus was born from these were his ancestors. So Boaz has filled the role of the kinsman redeemer. He bought back Naomi's family land, and he married Ruth, and he rescued them from poverty, and he secured the lineage. So great story. In a way, how does this relate to Jesus? The kinsman redeemer is a foreshadow to Jesus. In ancient Israel, a redeemer had to meet specific requirements. He had to be a near relative. He had to be willing to pay the price, and he had to have the ability to redeem. Jesus fulfilled this by taking on human flesh. Jesus became our brother and a blood relative to humanity. And just as the Redeemer paid a financial price to set free a relative, Jesus paid the ultimate price, his life. He paid his life to redeem humanity from the debt of sin and death. And Jesus had the ability to redeem because he was sent from the Father. Naomi and Ruth, they were widows and powerless to save themselves. And similarly, humanity is spiritually broken by sin, and we are unable to save ourselves without a Savior. But you know, Boaz did not simply perform his legal duty. He joyfully and generously offered to marry Ruth. He wanted to marry Ruth. And Jesus willingly went to the cross out of his profound love for humanity, and he offered the ultimate gift of grace. Don't you love that story? At first, it seems to be a personal story about this, how this family experienced tragedy and death. And it ends with joy and birth. So even though this story is about the details of a family's life, it's woven into God's plan of a son that will be born and will redeem us all. And in my brain, the fact that Naomi was an Israelite, and Ruth was a Moabite. She's a foreigner. In my brain, that connects to God saves not only the Jews that follow him, but also the Gentiles. So it doesn't matter if you're from Israel or if you're a foreigner. Our Redeemer came to redeem us. God always has a plan to restore us. And this is wonderful to know when you feel like things have gotten so bad that you should rename yourself bitter. Have you ever had one of those days where everything seems so bad? You're like, I should just change my name. When I first read that, I was like, why did Naomi say that? And then I realized she had had some terrible things happen to her. But instead of becoming bitter, we can have hope that God will use our life to create something new. His plan is always bigger than what we can imagine. When you're in the midst of your tragedy, you can't see what God is going to do. And you can be overwhelmed by that. And so we just have to hold on to that God has a plan, and he is going to bring us out of this, and something really wonderful is going to happen. Like, just like when you start reading the story, you don't realize that the son that Boaz and Ruth are going to have is going to be like the great-grandfather of King David. I mean, isn't that lovely? Actually, he'd be the grandfather, wouldn't he? And this is just one of the reasons that the Bible is so intriguing and so alive. And when you first read the story, you might not catch all of that. And then we go back and we read it again. And you see that God has woven all these beautiful things in the Bible. And they all are pointing us to Jesus. And so when you first read something and you don't understand, keep digging a little bit. Just like when I didn't understand why Naomi renamed herself bitter. Just keep digging. Maybe you don't understand why this story is in the Bible. But God's going to reveal that to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and how it can speak to us in so many ways. We recognize that you have a plan for our lives and that you give our lives purpose and meaning. We seek to know you and to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to have a great week.